Well, there are lots of things that I love about being a parent. I love that, as we just saw, I can dress up as superheroes and I have an excuse to do it. I love that I'm able to play Lego and that's totally fine. I love that I can go on play equipment and no one can say anything about it. And I love that I get to hear the same children's songs over and over again. Maybe I don't love that one so much. But there are things that I love about being a parent. And one of the particular joys I find about being a parent is watching my two sons, Noah and Josiah, grow. And I see this in many ways. So, for example, they're slightly taller than they used to be. They can now reach things that they couldn't before. They're also faster than they used to be. It's now actually a struggle to beat them in the races we have in our backyard. And they're stronger than they used to be. They're able to pick up our cats and carry them around the house. Not that our cats are so impressed with that. So it's been wonderful to watch them grow. They're now taller, faster, and stronger than they used to be. But when you think about it, as good as it is to watch my boys grow, there is a kind of growth that's more important than physical growth. And that is our Christian growth, our growth as Christians. And so this leads me to ask a question. Do you think that you have grown as a Christian? When you reflect over the past year, the past 2 years, the past 5 years, do you think you've grown as a Christian? Are you taller, faster, stronger as a Christian? Well, how do you know if you've grown? And how can you then continue to grow as a Christian? Well, that's what this passage helps us to think through. Because in it, Paul's writing to the Colossians. He's never met the Colossians, but he's heard a lot about them. And in it, we see two things. What it looks like to start well, and then how we can grow as Christians. What it looks like to start well, and then how we can grow as Christians. And so firstly, in verses 3 to 8, we see what it looks like to start well. See, Paul's really positive about the Colossians. He says that every time he prays for them, he's thanking God for them. And why does he thank God for them? Well, it's because they've started well. He says he knows that they've started well because of three things: their faith in Jesus, their love for one another, and their hope in heaven. And so first he thanks God for their faith in Jesus. The Colossians are trusting in Jesus to be saved. They're saying, we are sinners, but we are trusting in Jesus who died in our place. And they're showing it in their lives by turning away from idols and living for Jesus. And so he thanks God for their faith in Jesus. But that's not all. He thanks God for their love for one another. The Colossians are putting others before themselves. If someone's in need, they're sharing what they have with that other Christian. If someone's lonely, they're spending time with that person. If someone's got a problem, they're spending time to pray with that brother or sister. And Paul says it's beautiful. And so he thanks God for their love for one another. But he doesn't stop there, because he knows where their faith and love come from. And that is their hope. So third, he thanks God for the hope they have of heaven, which they heard about in the gospel. You see, the Colossians have heard the gospel. That is the news that we are great sinners, but we have a great Saviour. And this good news has given them hope. The Colossians are confident that they look forward to eternal life. A new creation where there'll be no more sickness or disease or death, just life better than we could ever imagine. And so the gospel has made this church a church full of faith, love, and hope. And Paul gives thanks for this because it means they've started well. You see, John Stott said that every Christian, without exception, must be a believer, a lover, and a hoper. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because, as I've heard someone else say, if you're just a lover and a hoper, well, then what do you believe in? If you're just a believer and a lover, what do you live for? And if you're just a believer and a hoper, then what difference do you make? But the church at Colossae have all three. They have faith, love, and hope. And Paul says it's a sign that they've started well. Take a look at verses 3 to 6. That's what we see there. Paul says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have of all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. So Paul thanks God because the Colossians have started well. The gospel has made them a church of faith, love, and hope. And how has the gospel done this? Well, it's been working powerfully in their lives. See, Paul says the gospel is bearing fruit and it's growing all over the world. Everywhere, more and more people are hearing it and they're coming to believe in Jesus. They're having their lives transformed. And he says this is what's happened to the Colossians. Epaphras came and shared the gospel with them, and it's powerfully changed their lives. It's made them a people of faith, love, and hope. And Paul can't help but give thanks for that. And this morning, as we look around, and even as a visitor here, I'm sure Peter could speak more to this, we can see that the gospel has come here to Wyndham Presbyterian Church, and there are people of faith, love, and hope here. And I thank God for this. I thank God for the faith of the people here. I see it that in that you've said no to the comfort of sleeping in on a Sunday morning to be here at church. And also, when I've spoken with people in the past, they've talked about their desire to grow in their love of God. And so I thank God for the faith of the people here at Wyndham. I thank God for the love of the people here. I've seen it this morning in the way that people were here early to welcome me and any other visitors here. So I thank you for that. We heard it in the service just before with the announcements about raising money for breast cancer and praying for the farmers who are doing it tough in New South Wales. I thank God for the love of the people here. I thank God for the hope of the people here. Again, it's something we heard about earlier in the service as there were prayers for the kingdom to go out. They're prayers that show a desire for this church to see the community around have the same hope of heaven that you have. And so I thank God for the hope of the people here. I thank God for the way the gospel has come to this church and there are people of faith, love, and hope. And this is what happened in the church at Colossae as well. Take a look at verses 6 to 8. It says, "All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard about it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You heard it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." So first we see here what it looks like to start well. It's the gospel making us a people of faith, love, and hope. But still, we've got to ask, after it is that we've started well, how is it then that we continue to grow? And that's what we see next. Secondly, in verses 9 to 14, we see how we can grow as Christians. You see, Paul's great desire is for the Colossians to keep growing as Christians. And so he prays for them. And he says it without, he does it without stopping. Now, that doesn't mean that he literally prays as if it's all he does in life is pray and nothing else. But he's saying that he prays for them regularly. He prays for them over and over again. Take a look at the first part of verse 9. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." So Paul prays for the Colossians regularly. And what does he pray for them? Well, he prays for their growth as Christians. In particular, we see he prays for the what, the why, and the how of Christian growth. And so first he prays for the what of Christian growth, what they need for Christian growth. And what's that? Well, it's that they will know God's will. They'll have knowledge of his will. But what does that mean? Well, sometimes I think when we talk about God's will and we use the language of God's will, we talk about it as if it's knowing God's direction for your life, as if it's about God's telling me to be a Christian musician or a Christian teacher or a Christian accountant or to marry that other person, that other Christian person. But that's not really the way the Bible speaks about God's will. Instead, what Paul's praying is that they will know the way that God wants them to live from his word. And so they won't live in ungodly ways or follow idols. They will live the way God wants them to live, in line with his word. That's what he's saying in the second part of verse 9. Take a look. He says, "And asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So first Paul prays that they'll have what they need for Christian growth. They'll have knowledge of God's will. And second, he prays for the why of Christian growth, why they need it. And why do they need it? Well, it's so that they'll live lives worthy of the Lord Jesus. He prays that they'll grow so they'll live lives that are worthy of all that Jesus is and all that he's done for them. Lives that will please Jesus in every way. This is what Paul wants to see in their lives. And so that's what he's praying for them. Take a look at verse 10. "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." So Paul prays for the what and then the why of Christian growth, that they will know God's will so they will live lives worthy of the Lord. And then third, he prays for the how of the Christian growth, how this Christian growth will show itself. And he prays that it will show itself in at least four ways. Number one, that they will bear fruit in every good work. He's praying that the fruit of the Spirit will be seen in their lives, that as they go about their daily lives, they'll be people of love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, and all of the fruit of the Spirit. So he prays that they will bear fruit in good works. Number two, he prays that they will grow in their knowledge of God. See, Paul knows that we're not just machines that God has made to do the things he wants us to do. God's made us for relationship with him. And so he prays that the Colossians will grow in their relationship with God. Number three, he prays that they'll have patience and endurance when life is hard. Paul knows that when the Colossians bear fruit in good works and grow in their relationships with God, that life won't be easy. So he prays that they will rely on God's strength, and this will enable them to endure when life is hard. And number four, he prays that they will joyfully give thanks to God for his grace. He prays that no matter what they're going through, they will be joyfully giving thanks to God. That they will remember that they were lost, living in the dominion of darkness, but God has sent his Son, redeemed them, and so they've been transferred to the kingdom of light. So Paul prays that they'll think about this and they won't be able to help but joyfully give thanks to God. And so we see Paul prays for the what, the why, and the how of Christian growth. That the Colossians will know God's will, so they'll live lives worthy of Jesus, and that this will show itself within them. And this is how God says that we can grow as Christians, by praying a prayer like this. It's why I pray this prayer for other Christians. See, there are times when we don't know what to pray for other people. I know I don't sometimes. But we know that every Christian needs to grow. And so as I think about my home churches, Williamstown, and other churches in Victoria like Wyndham, I pray this prayer for our churches. And when I pray for my family at home, I pray this prayer for them too. Because I don't want my sons just to grow up being taller, faster, and stronger than they have been, but that they will grow and know God's will and live lives worthy of Jesus, so that they will grow as Christians. And so secondly, we see how we grow as Christians. It's by praying that we will. Praying that we'll know God's will, so we'll live lives worthy of the Lord. Take a look at verses 10 to 14. Talking about how it will show itself, he says it will bear fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so that really is the message of this passage. There's a lot in it, but its message is really quite simple. It's that we need to pray for Christian growth. We need to pray for our growth as Christians. But how does this apply to us? Well, there are two things that I want us to see. First, that this prayer helps us to reflect on our growth as Christians. See, sometimes I think when we're asked the question, have you grown as a Christian, our default response is to think about whether we've been reading our Bible and praying. And I want to say that there's something good about that. It's important that we read our Bibles and we pray. But do you see that this passage shows us that there's in fact a whole lot more to Christian growth than just those two things? So for example, it helps us to ask questions of ourselves like, have you been growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Are you more loving, more joyful, more peaceful than you used to be? Is that something that your family notices? Perhaps we can ask them. It asks, are you growing in your relationship with God? Are you listening to him, talking to him, walking with him day by day? It asks, do you have patience and endurance when life is hard? When you get sick, when you receive bad news, are you relying on God in those moments? It asks, do you joyfully give thanks to God for his grace? Again, when you go through hard times, are you still able to joyfully give thanks for what Jesus has done for you? Now, I know these are areas that we're all still working at. I'm still working at them as well. But do you see how this passage gives us a far bigger view of what Christian growth is than just simply reading our Bibles and praying? So can I encourage you to take this passage and use it to reflect on your growth as a Christian? That's the first thing. The second thing is this passage helps us to know how we can grow as Christians. See, often I think deep down we know that we need to grow as Christians, but we often just don't know how to. But here Paul shows us at least one way we can work at our Christian growth, and that is by praying for it, by making this prayer our own. And so I wonder, is this something that you pray for? See, it's good for us to pray for people in need, for our children or our grandchildren's education and for our work. But if you were to do a survey of your prayer life, how often do you pray for your growth as a Christian? And when you do pray for other Christians, how often do you pray for their growth as well? Well, can I encourage you to pray for this, because God loves to answer this prayer. See, I have a Christian friend who has suffered from severe depression. I don't want to go too much into the details of that, but it's the point where there have been days when he's not been able to leave the house. But this person has been praying for his growth as a Christian. And over the years, I've seen that even though he struggles with depression, he has become a person of joy, of thanks, and of faith. So even though he has that ongoing struggle, his prayer has been answered. And this prayer can be answered for us as well. So I ask, will you make this prayer your own? See, as a parent, I love to watch my children grow taller, faster, and stronger. But there's something far more important than physical growth, and that is our spiritual growth. And so will you make this your constant prayer? Will you pray that you will grow as a Christian? Let's pray that we will. As we do, let's pray the words from Colossians that we've just read. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that in it you show us the importance of growing in our Christian, as Christians, growing with you. And so, Lord, we humbly do pray the words of Paul for ourselves. We pray that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this so that we may live lives that are worthy of the Lord Jesus and please him in every way. And as we do, Lord, we pray that we would bear fruit in every good work. We would grow in our knowledge of you. We would be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, to have great endurance and patience. And we ask that we would joyfully give thanks to you for qualifying us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Lord, we pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.